Open your Bibles today to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want to read verses 12, verse 32, verse 36, and verse 51. In the midst of all that Jesus is doing in this chapter, and what he's doing is trying to convince people that he is who he said he is. Now, we live in a world that still needs that. There's a lot of people that do not see Jesus for what the Bible says Jesus is. And I think it's important that we understand that. We spend a great deal of time, and I see this a lot, where people are trying to shape and mold Jesus to what they want him to be, instead of allowing Jesus to mold us the way we need to be. And in that difference of opinion, the whole world has got a Jesus that they think will take care of me, when in reality, what we need to learn to do is believe in Jesus for who he is, the Savior, the Lord, and the Master that he is, and that we need to have a singular obedience. Jesus will tell us that you cannot serve God and the world at the same time. But yet, so many people today try to do just exactly that. So, what Jesus does here in this chapter is make four promises to his disciples, to those that believe him, to those that trust him. And if you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then these are four promises that have been made to you and to me. And if you're here without Christ today, you've never embraced through repentance and faith Jesus of Nazareth as your Lord and as your Savior and as your Master, then you need these four promises. You need to look deep within your heart and repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen as I read these four verses. Jesus says in verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Verse 32. The Bible says this, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In verse 36, he says, so if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. Then in verse 51, Jesus tells them in the midst of a discussion that includes Satan's power, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. We live in a world full of promises, don't we? Every 4 years, we have what we call elections. And you know, elections are just full of promises, aren't they? But I also am cynic enough to know that not all the promises are kept. But you know, one of the tragedies of simply being an adult sometimes is we promise ourselves every New Year's Day we'll lose weight. We promise ourselves we'll do better. And then we're not very good at keeping them, are we? Sometimes we just fail. Sometimes we do it deliberately. Sometimes it just sweeps upon us. Y'all know what today is? Today is the 15th of April. Tax day. I'm thankful that the 15th of April this year is Sunday, because I don't have to mail it. Today's the 16th, isn't it? There goes my illustration. Tomorrow, though, I don't have to mail my taxes till the 17th. I get to keep my money 2 more days. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the promises that we have. That sometimes we keep them all, sometimes we don't. Here's the interesting thing about Jesus. He keeps his promises every time. And because he does, there is the need to believe them. There is the need to understand that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light and darkness. Throughout the Bible, that's the contrast between good and evil. Light and darkness. He separated the light from darkness in Genesis. Remember what happens when Jesus is crucified? There's 3 hours of darkness. But that darkness is broken with the light of the resurrection on the first day of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, we must understand that the world that's plunged into sin, the world that does not believe God, the world that refuses to accept what Jesus Christ has done, is stumbling through darkness. Darkness is all around them. They think everything's okay. They think there's plenty of light, but there's not. The light is in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. He says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not break the darkness on our own. We break the darkness when we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who is the light of the world. It is Jesus Christ who broke the darkness of sin with the payment of his own blood when he took his sacrifice and laid it on the Holy of Holies, not made with hands, right before the Father. We must understand this morning clearly what our text says, that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the one who does this, Jesus says. I'm the one who breaks up sin. So whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So the question begs to be asked at this point, how then do we follow Jesus? We follow Jesus by giving up on ourselves. We follow Jesus by understanding that through repentance and faith in what he has accomplished on the cross, we can have eternal life. We follow Jesus by believing him and believing everything that he asks us to do, to be saved, to be born again, to get right with God. I don't care what terminology you use, but you have to start right there. You can't start by saying, well, I'm going to go to church, or I'm going to read my Bible. No, you start through repentance and faith. That's the beginning. That's the starting point. Paul calls it justification. Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born again. He told the woman at the well, you had to drink the water of life. I don't care what terminology you use, but you need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, there's no following Jesus. The first step we take when we follow Jesus is to follow him in baptism. That watery grave that declares to the world that I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And by the authority of a church, you're plunged into that water and you're raised to walk in newness of life. It declares to the world who you are. It identifies you. A few weeks ago, Brother Dwayne Wright gave me a very nice gift. I haven't worn it yet because it's a little bawdy. You say, what is it? It is a bright red chain that says St. Louis on the front. It identifies that I'm not for that other team in Chicago. Okay? Or anywhere else. You say, what's your point? My point is, I identify. You walk into my office, it's easy to figure out what baseball team I'm for. Because there's not any blue in there. It's all red. You say, what's your point? How does the world know we belong to Jesus? It's when we follow him. When we obey him, when we do what Jesus says do. That's salvation, then it's baptism, and then it's commitment. The commitment we call sanctification. That is that we decide as we believe in our hearts that the Bible is the Word of God, that we will no longer be spiritually blind, but that that we will not walk in darkness, but we will have what? The light of life. We want to be able to walk and talk with Jesus. We want to be able to follow him. So how do we do that? Jesus tells us that in verse 32. He says to them, in verse 31, he says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know what? The truth. The truth. Thy word is truth. So what are we to do with that truth and that word? We're to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we understand the truth. The truth is that which is genuine. It is that which is real. It is that which transforms. It is that when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Truth was standing right before him. Remember what he tells the disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. We believe the truth. We believe the grace and love of Almighty God. We want to remain there. We want to stay there. We want to be transformed by that. Let me read a verse of scripture that many of you know by heart. And yet, and what we need to understand is exactly this is what truth does for us. Paul writes in Romans 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Now listen, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, King James says, reasonable service. But I like what ESV says. This is your spiritual worship. Do you know what we're supposed to do when we come into this building and worship each Sunday morning and each Sunday night and Wednesday night? We're to be a living sacrifice. We're to be holy because he's holy. We're to be acceptable to God. And the only way we're acceptable to God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is that? That's our act of worship. That's our humility. That's our obedience. That's our willingness to do what God asks us to do. How do we do that? We are not conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewal of your mind that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, complete. You know what we're to do? We're to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. We're to be a genuine disciple. Jesus and Jesus alone is to be our master. He's to be our Lord. He is to be the one who leads and guides. You say, well, preacher, I want to make up my own mind. You better quit. You better start listening to this book and listening to the Holy Spirit. You say, but I want to follow my heart. Let me tell you what the prophet says about your heart. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. You say, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, fine. You don't like that. Argue with God. God says, obey him. Love him. Follow him. Do his will. And it says here that if we will conform, if we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, we can find out what the good and perfect will of God is for us. Let me tell you what the will of God is for you. To do what he says. I'll never forget one particular Saturday growing up. I told my father I wasn't going to church in the morning. He said, really? And I said, yes, sir, I'm not going. And he said, okay. He said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to go with my friends and do this and do that and do the other. He said, no, you're not. And I said, what do you mean? Y'all will be at church. I'll do what I want to. He said, nuh-uh. He said, you're in my house. You're going to follow my rules. And if you don't go to church, you don't go anywhere else. All week. I said, what about school? He said, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do to your teachers. You see, one of the things I learned that day, I don't get to make the rules. You know, one of the things we have to learn as God's children, we don't get to make the rules. God does. And when God makes the rules, you know what he does? He makes them out of love and grace and for our benefit. It's for his glory, but he takes care of his children. You know, one of the things I also learned that day after my father laid down the rules, I also learned that he loved me. He loved me enough to make me do what was right. Do you know how much God loves us? He loves us enough to send the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. He loves us enough that when we read his word and we're convicted by it and that we're directed by it, that we make those choices to follow him. You say, well, it's not always easy. Didn't say it was easy. It was just right. That's how much God loves us. That's how much he wants us to follow him. Now notice, the truth will set you free. You got to know the truth, and what will it do? It'll set you free. Free to do what? Whatever I want to? No, free to serve. Free to serve. Free to obey God and be set free because of it. Then in verse 36, he takes it a step further. He said, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Now the context of that verse is not just another type of freedom. It is a type of freedom away from the law of Moses. The Jews were bound by rules. I told my Sunday school class this morning, one of the things that I hate in life are rules. There's so many of them. Some of them are not very good. Some of them are very good. Okay? You know, don't pick up a rattlesnake. That's a good rule. Okay? Don't touch a hot stove. That's a good rule. Okay? So there are rules that are very helpful and very beneficial. But when you take rules and you don't see God because of the rules, those aren't good rules. That's what the Jews had done with the law of Moses. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, that the law is a schoolmaster, a guardian for us. It's to take us to Christ. It's to point it out. When we read and study the scripture, they're to point us to Jesus. That's what the Bible does. The Bible doesn't sequester our lives. The Bible doesn't make our lives miserable. It points us to Jesus Christ. so that we will be free. And this is what he's telling the Jews here in verse 36, that you'll be free from the slavery of sin. You see, the Jews were patting themselves on the back and said, "Father's our Abraham, our father's Abraham, and because of that, everything's okay." Ladies and gentlemen, everything's not okay if all you do is come to church and have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything's not okay if you just go along in life and live it the way you want to live it and give God just a little bit of time every once in a while. I love the way Charles Swindoll puts this in his book, Improving Your Serve. Most folks just want $2 worth of God. They want just enough of God to say he's there, not enough of God to change the way they live. They want just enough of God to get to heaven, but not enough God to serve him here on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we need God fully and completely. We need a tank full, okay? We need all of God we can possibly get because our lives need to be lived for him. Sin blinds our heart and it blinds our mind. Sin is a failure to obey God and a failure to worship him. It's a failure to see that the freedom that comes with complete forgiveness is a freedom from the slavery of sin. There's no shackles there. I'm free to serve. I can love God with all of my heart, my soul, and my strength. I don't have to hold back. Why? Because God never holds back for me. He loves me completely. I'm free indeed. Now, verse 51, the final promise. This is so important. Jesus says to them very clearly, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Do you understand that promise? The Bible tells us very clearly in John chapter 3, that every one of us must be born again. Okay? Rebirth. You're born physically, but you must also be born spiritually. You must repent and believe. When you're reborn, now, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You just said here, you just read where if I believe Jesus, I'm not going to die. No, you're not going to die eternally. You're going to die physically. That's the wages of sin. But you know what? You're granted if you're given, if you're born again, you're granted immediately eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let me explain something that I hope all of you understand. Being God's child means more than just fire insurance. If you think trusting Jesus means all I'm going to do now is I don't have to worry about hell, then you don't understand salvation. Salvation means that you've been forgiven of your sin, but you become God's child. You're a new creature, a new creation. You're to be molded and shaped the way Jesus wants you to be molded and shaped. You become what he wants you to become. Ladies and gentlemen, I never, ever had a plan to be a pastor. Growing up, I had everything figured out. I was going to go to Arkansas State College. I was going to major in history and minor in agriculture, teach school, and farm. It was all settled, and God changed everything. You say, well, why did you listen? Because I got tired of being beat up every Sunday. You say, well, who beat you up? The Holy Spirit. I fought it from April to August of 1970. And I fought it every time I went in the church house doors. And you say, well, what are you talking about? I either had to follow God or be miserable. Don't spend your life being miserable. Spend your life serving God, letting Him be your master, letting Him direct your life, letting Him shape you and mold you. He says in John 10:10 that He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. I cannot and do not have the time to tell you all the blessings that I've enjoyed since I announced my call to preach. All the people that I've met, all the blessings that God has given to me, the family that He's allowed me to be a part of, the fact that I'm here every week and get to be with you and enjoy that wonderful, sweet fellowship of a brother and sister in Christ. Life may not always be simple, but life is always blessed when we follow God. Listen again. Truly, truly, Jesus said, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. You see, what happens is if you never trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're never washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that you will participate in what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. You will be resurrected, and then you will be cast into hell that burns with fire and brimstone. You say, preacher, you ought not say things like that. It'll scare people. I hope it does. I hope you wake up at night if you're without Christ as Savior. I hope you wake up with flames all around you in your mind, flames all around your heart, understanding that without Jesus Christ, hell is your destiny, and it's guaranteed. You say, oh, preacher, I don't believe that stuff. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's true. You say, well, how do you know it's true? Because God said it is. You want to walk and talk with Jesus. Four promises. Four simple promises. Jesus is the light. The truth is what you need to believe. The truth will set you free. And that if you abide in Jesus and His word, you will not endure the second death. Why? Because you've been born again. Because you know Jesus Christ. You say, how urgent is that? It's the most urgent thing you'll ever do. Jesus told the people at Capernaum that now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to believe. Now is the time to accept the promises of God. So today, I'm offering you those promises. The promises that if you will believe, He will save you. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever believeth in me shall have eternal life. You won't be condemned, but you'll have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Father, today give us the courage to accept your promises. If there's one here that's lost, Father, convict them. Give them the courage to respond to you. Father, show them that the promises that you've made are true. For those of us who are your children, we've already been saved. But Father, may we keep the promise of obedience. May we believe the truth. May we make that commitment public to follow you, whether it's through baptism or church membership or rededication of heart and life. Father, we pray today that we will listen to you, that we will accept the promises. And so, Father, today draw us to you through your love. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.